This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
I had the time of my life when Quebec City lost to Nordiques.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Imagine walking into That's Hockey in the middle of the start of the show and yelling at people and swearing at people and saying, when are you on? What are you doing?
How much longer till you guys are out of break?
We're on a break right now.
That's what we should do one time. We just go into Gino's show. And you know you've got seniority around here. You can wheel around. Oh, I guarantee he's coming right back in.
He's coming.
Is he?
Oh, he will. He will.
I didn't see him walk past Scotty Ferguson's glass door there, so maybe
agitated.
Not. He should walk right in, throw on the headset, and get whatever's on his chest off his chest.
Our buddy Dark Guy just said he can fill in for Hayes. One show, and he just wants to move in like that.
I feel threatened now. My hold on this position is...
It's a tryout position.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. We signed you to a... You were on a one-day contract, but it's been extended.
It got extended kind of in a panic mode, right? Because we didn't know how Hayes' weekend was going to go.
Exactly.
So
now you played well Friday, playing well again. So you don't change the lineup when you're winning.
Right, and the Leafies won.
Yeah.
So I didn't. It's not like I brought the Leafs any bad news over the weekend.
Exactly. Just keep it rolling.
Nothing
to see here, folks.
As long as life is good, stay the hell out of the way. Leave the hockey to the hockey experts, put my feet up, and go from there. Bobby Mack, by the way, will join us at 6:10, so about 8 minutes from now. Alex Marvez from SiriusXM, the sporting news, to go around the NFL, and some major stories there. Aaron Rodgers is down, and we've talked about that, because that...
Horrifying.
I mean,
horrifying if you're a Packers fan.
It sucks for the league. It sucks for the league, Noodles. I mean, he is...
Yeah, this guy, a lot of Mondays is leading off SportsCenter with his plays because he's that good.
He's the Hail Mary King. He's had a few of those. He can throw a ball like nobody else. He can throw on the move. I believe this, and the Super Bowl championships don't back it up because obviously Tom Brady has five and his Patriots are the defending Super Bowl champion.
Right.
But Rodgers would be my guy if I was starting a team and taking a quarterback first overall. He'd be my guy. No question about it. And the Green Bay Packers just, they're not the same. One of my hot takes, Noodles, because I know how you love to talk about
it. I do like hot takes.
Hot take Hayes, is the Green Bay Packers for the last 25 years have had two quarterbacks, right? Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. They won one Super Bowl. They got to two, but they won only one with Favre.
Right.
In Aaron Rodgers' time, they've won only one. So they've got two Super Bowl championships in the last 25 years with elite quarterbacking. That, to me, says as much or more.
Scotty, some teams would cut their you-know-what off for that.
Well, the Cleveland Browns, the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
It's
like
Jets.
But... The New York Jets. The New York Jets.
Can I say it?
And they're not even the joke of New York right now.
I thought that call yesterday was a joke. I guarantee you if that was Gronkowski that had that play, it's... There you go. Touchdown.
You think that was a New England call?
I think the Jets are kind of the Jets, and they're like, nah, sometimes... The only reason I say that is because all the time I spent in Carolina, where if you touch Mark Messier or Gretzky or Jerome Iginla, and it's like, okay, penalty, but if they do it to you, your little crappy team, they're like, nah, nothing to see here.
Yeah. I mean,
it was just
human nature sometimes does creep into...
It goes into the ref's mind because they're like, this team's so irrelevant. Who cares about
it? Also,
you hope it doesn't, but I think...
Ask Ray when he played in Atlanta how many breaks they got. Probably zero.
But it also
probably didn't deserve one.
It also gets back to the damn video replay, right, which determined that call. You got these pop-up slides in baseball. A guy's foot slightly comes off the bag when he slides in because his momentum carries him. He springs up.
Yeah.
Guy holds the tag. Boom, you're out. You came off the base. Hockey with the offsides.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how can you expect a linesman to see whether a guy is dragging his toe on the ice or half a millimeter above it?
Well, as Pat Quinn said, the jukebox doesn't lie.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's video replay, whether you like it or not, whether you're a fan of it or not, it tells you what's going on. It gives you a second look. I don't know. For me, personally, if I was starting a team, if I even had an expansion team in football, I would just go to Belichick and say, here's a blank check. And Brady, here's a blank check. Because those two, for some reason, I mean, whether they're cheaters or not, I know there's big arguments about that. They get it done. Belichick is, by all accounts, a sociopath. He doesn't care about people's feelings. You're not producing for my team. I'm moving away from you. That's it.
That is another good theme. Craziest job in pro sports, or the job you have to have in pro sports if you're the craziest person. I don't think there's anybody nuttier than football coaches.
Well,
you guys might have alternative
offensive strength. Coaches. Maybe is that who?
Well, I'm just saying these
Miami's
guys.
Miami's was that he the offensive coach?
He was the offensive line coach.
Okay,
yeah.
So that guy probably is
rolled up a 20 and just.
Snorted, looked like...
Had the time of his life.
Yeah. Rearranged.
White powdery substance. We'll just call it that. Because I was actually reading some of the comments below. I think it was Deadspin that first put it out. And one guy's like, nah, that doesn't look like Coke. It's too choppy. Like, so like some expert is like, nah, that's not Coke. That's probably Percocet or Oxy or something. Because he said, too choppy. I'm like, all right. Take your expert opinion.
Please tell me he didn't use his real name in the comment section
like
there.
Bill S. or something.
Next thing you know, Miami PD is at Bill S.'s door.
But I actually thought that was quite funny because I don't have experience like that, but it was looked to me like it was a line of coke. But that guy was going to work.
All right. This is the Scotty Mac Show for the day with Overdrive. Noodles, O-Dogger here. And TSN hockey insider Bob McKenzie joins us. Bobby Mack, how are you?
Hey, I heard a rumor that Brian Hayes is not there, Scotty Mack.
Bobby, and we don't care. We actually like it, and we've got a new show called The Scotty Mack Show.
Nice.
Featuring Overdrive.
Yeah.
Somebody, Bob... And next time you're doing a little research and digging into Brian Hayes' past, you can go to his Hockey DB page.
And they changed it to Scott MacArthur.
Disgusting.
It's a pretty soft effort. Are you taking the whole week off?
We don't know.
There's a vicious rumor out there that it may take him a week to get back.
Whoa.
He's day-to-day, at the very least.
You know what? It's day-to-day.
I got to be brutally honest, though, boys. If it's me... I'm committed to a month off.
Yeah, I think if it was you...
You're like, Joe from sure the Bridging It.
I would Joe from the Bridge It and take a month off and just mail it in, and I don't know what I would do. I wouldn't want to be caught golfing or anything, but I would take a month off.
I think it's fair. I think it's reasonable.
Just make sure you've got your tie on tomorrow night, though.
Hang on, Bob. Like, you don't think that would fly? No tie in the panel? What, like, I'm sitting beside Jamie. He's got no tie, and he looks good. What?
Hey. No tie, no guy.
No guy.
No guy.
So I what does that stem from? Because I was looking at
I'm watching all the NFL shows yesterday and the panels, they got great panels, and I'm looking at the guys and I'm like, they're not wearing ties. Why the hell do you have to wear a tie?
Because that's how we do it.
That's a classy.
Oh boy. Here we go.
I was watching the San Jose
broadcast.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. Why don't you know what? Oh,
try
it. Don't ask me. Why don't you ask Millier?
Yeah, see how that goes.
Okay, I'll wear a tie. Boss.
I used to say that TSN was the suit network, but that's another story.
Well, I was watching the San Jose broadcast the other day. I don't know if you saw Curtis Brown's get up. Like, he's got a beard as big as Brent Burns.
He's got the jumbo beard going.
And he had his shirt untucked and blue jeans on.
It was like it was a very relaxed panel, I will tell you that.
That's San Jose. It's California, baby.
Exactly.
All right. Well, there you go. Curtis Brown, well into retirement now, doing a little TV. Bobby, Saturday night in Montreal, the Leafs get the win. And we were talking about this earlier on in the show. I don't think we're breaking any new ground when we say it. But it probably wasn't the Leafs' best game. It probably was one of Montreal's better games so far this season. But it's not often in Toronto we've been able to sit back and say, when the Leafs need a goal, they've got a game breaker the caliber of Austin Matthews. And as if we needed reminding, but we got another reminder or two on Saturday night.
Oh, no question about that. I mean, and the goals he's getting in overtime, the game against Chicago, the Montreal game on Saturday night, they're pretty spectacular. He's not just, you know, chunking one in here or there. That was ridiculous. The pass that Nylander made was ridiculous. The ability for Matthews to catch it and release it as quickly as he did and get it to the top of the net, that was insane. Same as the Chicago one where you wind up, come down and basically overpower the goaltender. So yeah, he's, it kind of adds to the early legend, I guess. And you're probably right. The Leafs were okay on Saturday night. They weren't bad. They weren't spectacular. Montreal is actually, for a team that's had a tough time getting any wins or very many wins, they've actually played a lot of really good games. I watched the last Tuesday game, Chicago-Montreal. wasn't even close. Montreal was so far the better team that night.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. They just couldn't finish. And they got some goals on Saturday night, but they still, and they got a point, but they couldn't get the win. But onward and upward, I guess.
I think if you get Carey Price playing like Carey Price and Montreal playing like that, they could have a different record. I don't think Carey Price is... He's certainly not mid-season form. He hasn't been great. They rely on him a lot, but I agree, Bob. I watched the Chicago game. Corey Crawford was unreal that night. Now, maybe you could argue Montreal doesn't have the finishers that, for example, that Toronto does, but they still have some talent up there. It just, that's why I said earlier in the show, I subscribe to your theory of let's talk in a month when things have settled down. So you're fine with Montreal kind of, you think they're projecting in the right area?
Yeah, well, you know, hey, listen, are there some things I've seen in the first 2 weeks that are a concern? Yeah, we kind of felt that way even before the season began. It was wait and see on a number of things. But overall, yeah, you know, Montreal's played pretty good hockey in spite of the fact they don't have a very good record in the regular season. Their preseason was a disaster outside of their last game when they blew Ottawa out. And they obviously are having a tough time scoring goals, which might be a chronic problem. That, you know, we don't know that yet, but that's why you got to give it some time. And they're not going to need as many goals if Price plays the way that Price is capable of playing, which he, as you said, and it's true, you look at his save percentage, his overall game is not where it needs to be. So, yeah, I would think that's the given. I expect Carey Price is going to get better. So, and if he gets better, then Montreal will get better too.
Bobby, where do you think coaches' minds are at when they're moving around players in a lineup as far as Mike Babcock and Mitch Marner? Is this just to say, hey, buddy, like I'm watching you and we're winning and I'm still watching you and I don't like what I'm seeing?
Yep.
Because we've had lots of conversations during periods of hockey games where I think you told me a classic line from Pat Burns was, you know, you kind of screw around with the players because if they start doing it, then you're out. So what is the coach's mindset here?
Well, I think the mindset is that line hasn't been good enough. Now, publicly, he gave Marner a little cover today, excuse me, and he basically said, you know, you're the young guy on the line, so we could have messed with Bozak or Van Riemsdyk just as easily as Marner, and that's probably true to some degree, but I think, too, he's probably thinking that Marner's the guy that needs the biggest kick in the butt of the three, and so he can do it because he's got Connor Brown, and Marner handled it exactly the way that he should handle it. He was real positive and upbeat about it. Don't look at it as a demotion. I mean, Connor Brown could have pouted when he went down to the fourth line, and he didn't. That game last Monday, a week ago tonight against the Blackhawks, next to Matthews, Connor Brown was the best player on the ice for the Leafs. And he's generating minutes and offensive opportunities and penalty killing and all those things from, quote-unquote, being on the fourth line. And there's no reason why Mitch Marner can't do the same thing. He doesn't get as much primary penalty killing time, but along the way he's been getting some. And, and the funny thing is, I mean, it's not a big concern for me because a year ago, Marner came into the league and nobody was 100% sure whether he was going to stick or whether he was going to go back to London. And And what he quickly demonstrated and quickly won over Mike Babcock was how hard he worked when he didn't have the puck. He was a fierce back checker, and his defensive awareness was strong. And he looked committed to doing all the things you need to do to win over a coach, even though you're an underage junior and not the biggest physical specimen in the world. So he's capable of doing it. He's just off to a bit of a slow start, and it shouldn't be viewed as anything more or less than that. But because we analyze everything seven ways to Sunday, and there's a fourth line, and he, you know, whatever line he was on before, is it the second line? Is it the third line? I don't know. But in any case, it's a little bit of a wake-up call for him and probably a little bit of a wake-up call for Van Riemsdyk and Bozak as well, who both need to be a lot better.
Do you not find it goofy that, like, it's kind of a... There's a situation in Vegas where the mood around that town is obviously we know what it is. What, do you not find it kind of goofy that their Twitter account would do something so goofy yesterday and have that taken down? Like, I don't know, some of these teams, their Twitter accounts want to be edgy and... I just find that, like, just really goofy.
Well, the short answer is, if you want to be edgy on Twitter, usually there's a point in time where you might make an error in judgment and you know, you end up crossing the line. Edgy by its nature means it's out there on the edge. Well, if everybody loves it until you step over the line, and then everybody's mad at you and you hear about it, and then you have to apologize. And if it's really, really bad, which keeping in context with this one, and when I say really bad, like, you know, if it's so far offside, you lose your job. And it's a hell of a way to go about life, losing your job over an attempt to be snarky or funny I don't know what the word is, ingenious on Twitter or social media. And I pray that I get through my career, which doesn't have that many more years to go, without saying or doing something so stupid on Twitter that you end up losing a job and your reputation and all those things. Now, up until yesterday, everybody was loving everything that the guy who runs the Vegas social media account was doing. There were stories about him, how bright he is and how sharp he is and how caustic and funny and isn't this great.
Did he just? Yeah, he just went.
That's a tribute to Brian Hayes today.
Yeah,
just
that
people's
is.
Phones.
Because he would
the ghost, like, of Brian Hayes.
Hayes would have scissor kicked that glass and attacked Tyler Hunt for that, because, and that sounds like that's
he,
a hard...
Brian Hayes would have hated me, Jamie, yeah, Tyler, Mulls, and Fergie for that.
Somehow it would be all of our fault.
Because it's just unacceptable.
And the look, like, we're on TV, but if they would pan to Hayes' face.
Oh, yeah. He would have done the Dave Hodge pan.
Would have been over?
The glare, he would just burn a hole through that glass.
Well, and it would have been piggybacked off of Tim Kirkjian's cell phone from last hour. So there would have been billed.
But see, Bobby Mack, I believe it sounded like, was on a landline or a tie line.
He was on the tie line, yeah.
So the tie line went south. So there's no argument there, because... There's times where Hayes will give whoever's producing, whether it was Steph or Hunt, heck, because you're calling a cell and the cell cuts out. Give me a landline in a hotel. Well, this was the best landline you can get. It's a tie line.
Count
in Edmonton, and I think I was moving around a little bit, and finally the host jumped in. He's like, "You got to call us back. Your phone's cutting out." I'm like, "I'm so sorry," because I know what it's like. I'm sitting on the other end, and... You're cutting out, and people are trying to let you fight through it. And finally, he's like, "I can't do this anymore. Call us back."
The best are the radio hits I used to do from my hotel room in Detroit, which was right on the river.
Yeah.
And depending on where I was in my room, I would either be on Bell, because it was picking up a Canadian satellite, or AT&T, because it was picking up, and it would cut back and forth, and I would never be able to get through a hit. And I finally figured out why. Crazy stuff. All right. Alex Marvez... will join us in about 10 minutes' time. Colin Kaepernick, and I want your guys' thoughts on this. We'll get to this on the other side as well. Will he ever play in the NFL again? It was one thing when he kneeled in protest of police brutality, racial injustice. It's another thing now that he's going after all 32 NFL owners, accusing them of collusion to keep him out of the league. We'll talk about that, then we'll get Alex Marvez's thoughts. Stay with us. It's the Scotty Mac Show with Overdrive on your Monday. TSN 1050, the TSN Go app, and you're watching on TSN 2.
This police officer in Toronto. He tried to do something good. And
is this with the dogs?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like a couple hundred bucks.
What's the retweets at? We forgot to check that out.
Well, no, I got to cut a check for $3,500 or something for the Humane Society. I thought it was going to be like a couple hunch.
Well, you better get to work.
Is the deadline over? Like,
yeah,
the retweet?
But I'm...
You've gotten rinsed a little bit. $3,500.
I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'd love to. I just don't have
Yeah, 6,100 retweets. That's a lot. Well, it's good. It is for the animals. I'll give you that. But you should have actually got on, I'll match whatever you reach, officer, on the 535 retweets, because that's where you stepped in.
You're right.
So you you brought a lot of business here with your support.
Or I can mail it in and not do anything and have my name dragged through the mud.
Yeah,
or
you can't do that.
Or no, you could take...
I've already spoke to the officer. He's a really good guy. We're going to do something next Monday.
Awesome.
Maybe I can get a cat out of it or something.
You want a cat?
Randomly. Like, shouldn't I get a cat for that?
Did you get a pet?
I don't know.
I think for that, I should get an animal.
Have you ever had an animal?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How did they go?
Are you a dog guy? Cat guy?
Yeah, you had some sort of
You know
dog.
What? I don't mind cats. I don't mind cats.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I grew up with three cats, and they hated me, and I didn't care for them. They just stayed away from me, and like they were, I don't know.
I don't know. If I see a cat I like, I might just say, can I have the cat for this?
There you go.
Yeah.
You should get something.
No, you don't do that to get something in return, but hey.
That's the George Costanza
approach. I'm a single guy, Scotty. I might need some company at home.
There you go.
Get
a cat.
Is Colin Kaepernick ever going to play another down in the NFL, boys, after this? I don't want to call this a stunt because it sounds serious. And I don't want to take away from what he was doing last year, kneeling in protest of police brutality, racial injustice, on and on and on. Right. But
I would probably be thinking, Scotty, and we talked about his agent in commercial break, and it's like, wouldn't you think the agent would say, look, man, you got to wait longer before you do this because there might be a shot. They must have both just got together and said, there is no shot, so screw it, we're doing it.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I mean, he's filed a grievance against the NFL. So all 32 of its owners saying, look, they are colluding, you guys are colluding to keep me out of the league. And apparently, according to a number of reports, the straw that broke the camel's back was Marcus Mariota goes down for Tennessee. And Mariota's a University of Oregon guy,
right.
Kind of plays that hybrid offense. He's athletic. If you think Colin Kaepernick is a decent player, he would fit that bill.
Okay.
So Mariota goes down. And Tennessee turns around and signs Brandon Whedon, who was a bust of a Cleveland Browns draft pick when he was taken at 28 years old. He's now 34. He's terrible. He was never any good in the NFL. Kaepernick looks at that and says, if I can't get a job with the Tennessee Titans and they're turning to Brandon Whedon, there's got to be something.
There was a young defenseman. And I actually knew the kid. He was a great kid. Chris Campoli.
Yeah.
And he did some work with the NHLPA, and there was talk coming out of that lockout where the owners were getting fed up with everything coming out of this kid's mouth. And I don't think he played again.
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, he's a Mississauga kid. Him and his Steph grew up together, so they've known each other.
Obviously, these are completely different situations, right. But it's like when they get together and say, this guy, no guy, it's a no guy.
And there was a sense of that up in Ottawa, because he was a senator for a while, and that got...
He was a good player.
Yeah. I was a player rep during the previous lockout, and then I remember having a long conversation with Chris Chelios one night, and Chelly was not happy with Goodnow, and there was a group of them that were going after Goodnow and kind of attacking some of the things that he did. And I remember talking to Chelly, and I said, I've got to be honest. Regardless of how I feel about this situation, I have to look in the mirror and know exactly what I am as a person and where I'm going to be in my lifetime after hockey. I want to be involved in hockey the rest of my life. And I chose not to be involved with that because I chose to abstain from that situation. Campoli was very vocal during that last lockout. So was Ron Hainsey. And Hainsey came out the other side. But Campoli ended up in Europe, got a bad concussion, and now retired, works for the PA now. Great guy. Really good person.
Yeah, good guy. I remember covering him in Ottawa, definitely. So the question is, will Colin Kaepernick ever play again? Alex Marvez is with us from SiriusXM NFL Radio and the Sporting News.
One of my first shows ever in radio, Scotty, I talked to you and Alex Marvez.
At the same time?
Yeah, I think he's a Vancouver Canucks fan.
Are you a Vancouver Canucks fan, Alex Marvez?
Yeah, I was about to ask y'all. I mean, is my team going to be good and like, you know, until they trade the Sedins or what? And can they trade the Sedins individually? That's the whole thing. When you separate twins, that's bad karma.
Yeah, it's
they're terrible, man.
A package
and you're not trading them, and they're going to suck this year. They suck.
Yeah, they're not too good. Yeah. Okay, but other than that, hey, NFL talk. Yeah, woo.
All right, there you go. So the question is, like this, this feels like the final shot you fire, Alex, when you know it's over. If you're Colin Kaepernick, now he's going after the 32 guys who own these teams. Where does this go, and do we ever see Colin Kaepernick on an NFL field again?
I don't dismiss the possibility of a team signing him because they think he's talented enough to play. But you know, I don't dismiss him again. I mean, you know, I just look at it and the collusion argument. Come on, this is going to be tough to prove. And you know, in the process, he is, you know, going to damage himself, his reputation with NFL owners. But the point is, if you think Colin Kaepernick can play football and help your team, you would sign him. But you have to understand all the stuff that goes with it. Like, listen, if you sign him in Green Bay, how many Packers fans would, you know, unpledge their love to Green Bay? The guy did this to himself. I hate to say it like that, but, you know, wearing police's pig socks, all the Fidel Castro talk, I mean, all the stuff like that, and then not speaking this off season to even explain his position, the guy's put himself in a bad spot. And I understand the collusion claim, and it's great PR for him, but I'm not buying it.
Wouldn't you think his agent would have stepped in and said, look, man, you just got to lay off this if you're serious about playing again? Or maybe he's just not even serious about playing again. Because I know the agent business and sports and how it works. You say you don't even think about doing this because this is the end game right now.
Well, let me put a couple things here. Number one, Colin Kaepernick dismissed his original agents, not dismissed, but, you know, replaced them and hired someone else to help him negotiate his last contract with the 49ers. And then Colin made the Ugras-like decision to get out of a San Francisco contract. In other words, he wanted to become a free agent. And he also could have had a job with the Denver Broncos had he renegotiated his contract back in 2016 when the team was looking for a quarterback, and instead he decided to stay with San Francisco. And I think that really undermines his case as well. But, you know, you understand how it is, right? Like, as an agent, you can offer advice, but the reality is that a player employs the agent, not vice versa. So if a player wants to go a certain way, the agent has to adjust with it. And that clearly with Colin Kaepernick, he is not ready to back down from a fight with the NFL.
What do you think of the situation in Green Bay? Do they just say, well, it's going to hit the you-know-what, or should they try to make it work or try to tank? Or how do you replace a guy that's that important to his team as Aaron Rodgers is?
Well, first things first, we have to find out if Aaron has a potential to return during the playoffs. Number two, you know, Brett Hundley, that's why you develop a backup, right? I mean, the guy's been sitting there for a couple of years and you're grooming him. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, if Tom Brady goes down, people expect Jimmy Garoppolo to play well. Well, what's the difference between Brett Hundley and a coaching staff that has developed a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers? You know, all the same guys are there. They should expect Brett Hundley to play well, right? I mean, that's how I look at it, and find other ways to compensate for it. I mean, they're not going to sign an outsider. They're going to ride with Brett and hope that their you know, belief that he can be a great or a good quarterback continues this season. That's all you can do at this point for them. I don't think signing Tony Romo or you know, Colin or anyone else who's out there, Bart Starr, Lynn Dickey, whatever, I just don't believe that that is an answer for them. They'd rather have someone that they know that understands the situation and hope that other players step up to lift this guy to win some games.
With Alex Marvez of SiriusXM NFL Radio and the Sporting News, is there a team, Alex, that goes from good to great with its quarterback being Aaron Rodgers to average more so than the Green Bay Packers? Like, would it be ignorant to say that they are heavily quarterback reliant, not just because he's a great player, but because the roster is without him?
Well, Hayes, what happens if the Steelers lose Ben Roethlisberger? What happens if the Saints lose Drew Brees? I mean, you know, there are teams that are built like this, and they don't want to spend extra money on a quarterback because they're spending so much on the position as it is. So I think some teams just figure, you know what, you know, if we don't have a great backup, we're screwed anyway. So basically, let's just deal with that, and let's try to develop a backup player through the draft. You know, Josh Dobbs, obviously, for the Steelers in the future, and for Aaron Rodgers, it was Hundley. So they made an investment. Again, he's been there. You know, the Patriots do this, and it's not like, okay, well, Jimmy Garoppolo's terrible, Jacoby Brissett, they found ways to overcome it. That's what other, you know, just because the Patriots set the bar doesn't mean that other teams have to, like, not be able to live up to it and be given a pass. Other teams should be able to develop their backup quarterbacks or change their game plans to, again, adjust. And here's the other thing, too. If you go into a game, you know, let's say you have 10 snaps as an offense in practice, 10 of them are probably going to the starter, maybe 9 and once to the backup. So when you have guys that jump in there for 1 week and they throw 3-4 interceptions, that's not uncommon. The reality is that when they have a chance to work with the first team offense, they usually get better from week to week, and the coaches can adjust their game plan for the backup as opposed to having to just stick a guy in there operating the game plan they have.
So when you look at the NFC North, where are we at right now? Teddy Bridgewater has just been reinstated, so he can begin practicing with the Vikings. He's in a 3-week window here, and he hasn't played in a year and a half because of the horrific knee injuries he's had. Sam Bradford, I mean, some of the rumblings on the pregame shows yesterday, Alex, is he going to play again?
So, no, I don't think so. I think Sam's done.
So Minnesota,
I'll be honest with you.
Okay, go ahead with that, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying I think he's done because I think what happened is that, you know, it's going to require a lot of injections and a lot of work, and I just think that Sam mentally is checked out. I mean, you know, he's made more than $100 million in his NFL career. Playing football is not a necessity for him. So, you know, it's weird. If you ask me to project a winner for the NFC North right now, I could put every team realistically in there, even including Chicago, which is what's so goofy about it. But with Aaron Rodgers going down, the Lions having their issues, who believes in the Vikings? And, I mean, you know, Chicago finds these quirky ways to win. I mean, they beat the Steelers. They beat the Ravens. Those are unexpected wins. Maybe, just maybe, Mr. Trubisky can provide a spark. Leonard Floyd can continue to lead that defense. It is a wide-open situation. And then in an overarching picture here, Mr. Hayes, let me just say this. I think that the NFL this year is wide open. There is no team right now that has emerged through 6 weeks that makes you say, oh, wow, these guys are going to Minneapolis. Let me book my plane tickets to the Twin Cities and hotel and all that, and then we're going to the Super Bowl. Nobody's done it.
Wanted to circle back with Big Ben in Pittsburgh, given his comments last week and then his game yesterday. Where are you at with him, and where do you think he's at?
I think that he was being a little sarcastic with his comments, but people took him literally. You know, the reality is that the Steelers, there's sometimes in the NFL where one team matches up well against another. One team understands the way that another team operates their business. And I think Todd Haley, the former Kansas City Chiefs head coach, has ways to attack, you know, Bob Sutton and his defense. And that's what they did. I mean, this is not uncommon. They've now won 3 straight games, you know, in a span of, what, 14 months, 15 months against, you know, the Chiefs. So, you know, that's sometimes how it is. Sometimes a team has dominance over another team, and the Steelers are a bad matchup for the Chiefs. But, you know, I think Kansas City's a good team. It'll be interesting, though. They're entering a hornet's nest on Thursday night against Oakland. The Raiders must win situation. Not that I would ever, you know, gamble in the United States, but Hayes, if you got like 50 quid or something for me, could you go ahead and put it on the Raiders Thursday night for me? You know, some loonies and toonies. Do you mind?
We'll throw it down for you.
You got it. Thanks, Alex. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks.
Alex Marvez of SiriusXM NFL Radio and the Sporting News.
I think he dropped a couple of Hayes bombs.
He just might have.
It is a wide-open situation. And then in an overarching picture here, Mr. Hayes.
Mr. Hayes.
This is...
You know what it is? It's karma. Because we've been tuning Hayes up the whole time.
Brutal
and he's
phone
like, you
calls.
Know what, I'm not having this.
He's texting Marvez saying, do me a solid at the end of the show.
Exactly.
These hijackers, kick them to the curb.
Circle it back and let them know who's boss on this show. There you go.
Well, tomorrow it's going to be the Jamie McLennan show.
Yes, it is.
And everything is all noodles. The guests he wants, everybody.
Yep, we'll make it happen.
Are you going to sit...
I'm not
this
sitting
chair?
In the chair. I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll figure it out. I think we should, you know, we should call our buddy Jason Strudwick and find out what the hell's going on in Edmonton. Maybe we should have Struddy on the show.
Hey, it's your show tomorrow, buddy. It's the Jamie McLennan show.
The temperature level of the panic in Edmonton right now. Because he did take a shot at myself and Hayes on Twitter today when it said Marner demoted to fourth line and Strudwick wrote Black Armband Day.
Oh,
so he was being a jackass. Maybe we should get him to address.
Did you go comments. Back at him over Dreisaitl?
No, I just
and
sent him. I don't like. I'm not on.
You're not playing Leaf fan,
I'm
right?
Neutral. I'm neutral, but I did send him a text saying, "You're trolling us on Twitter," and he laughed. Just put a LOL. So he's enjoying himself.
No, I mean the intrigue is good early in the season. NFL's a mess right now. You can't predict it. NHL, it's so early. I mean. See some of these teams like Vegas 4-1.
Well, Nikolai
Detroit.
Ehlers got his 5 goals. He's a really good player in Winnipeg. Winnipeg's won 3 in a row. All
right.
of a sudden, they were a tire fire, couldn't defend at the start of the season. They've won 3 in a row, and I see Maurice is starting Mason tomorrow, which I thought was interesting.
Hellebuyck, what? Did he start all 3 of the wins?
Yes. And he's played very well.
Yeah, so he's going back.
I don't know about that, man.
Well, I have to look at their schedule to see if they're on the front end of a back-and-back, back-to-back. That could be the
maybe,
process.
But...
Yeah, I know.
And you're dying for wins in that division. Like, no way.
Yeah.
No guy.
And roll with what works. All right, coming up on the other side, my ProLine best bets as we wrap up my show. Is it going to be the O-Dog show on Wednesday? Or
yes. Okay. Tomorrow, it's the Jamie McLennan show. Wednesday, it's the O-Dog show, and I will sit there, but you still got a host.
All right. Okay. You get to stare at the computer screen to my left here. All right. You are listening to the Scotty Mac Show with Overdrive on TSN 1050, the TSN Go app. You're also watching on TSN 2. Just retweeting something that'll come into your feeds now because I don't think you guys were linked on it. Takes you back to last spring. It's from Tucker Wilson.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Memories?
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a good look.
Face app.
Yeah, the face swap, isn't it?
I look like such a...
Yeah, you look like you're enjoying yourself.
Hungry.
Just.
I don't know. Hayes looks
What have they
like
done
a
to Hayes?
Weird old man.
Yeah, I don't know. Looks like Mike Fiuta.
He does look like. Well, I just said weird old man. That's not what Mike Fiuta.
No, but that's what he looks like.
He looks like an 80-year-old.
Yeah, he looks angry. Like, even with a smile on his face, he looks crabby.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, well.
Poor guy just laid up, probably down for the week.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully he's back up and running.
It's the left leg, right? I forget.
It's
that,
the right. Isn't
is it the right? Because that affects how you drive, right? You
that's
gotta,
why, yeah. He couldn't. It's his right. It's his driving leg.
Foot on the pedal and over to the brake.
Yeah, it's
can
a
be
bit
painful.
Of a struggle. That's why. Hopefully he'll be fine. A week from now, he'll be back up and running, and we'll be yelling and screaming on the show about this player and that player and hot takes left and right. Wouldn't trade this guy for this guy, and the D is good.
I hate the refs, and I hate replays.
Hate
and
video replay.
My leg's still sore.
Yeah, he'll be miserable, but in a good way.
Yeah, well, I'll have to put his foot up on the table. You guys will leave some space for him. It'll be all good.
Be fine.
What do you make of Alex Ovechkin's start here?
I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
There's so many people that wanted to kick this guy in the nuts last year. The guy had 33 goals in an offseason.
Well, that's the thing, right? The standard.
Standard.
He's one of those athletes that it's unfortunate, but they're always going to be compared to themselves.
Yeah. Well, you say that a lot, and I agree. I agree because
it's like the guy scores 60, 70, and then if the guy scores 30, people are like, what?
What's wrong with this guy? Yeah. I'm happy for him. I think if he was Canadian, people would love him so much more.
If he wants to turn it around, I hope they go ahead and they do something and go to the finals or something, because it's good to do the old San Jose. Yeah. People have talked about him as favorites for years, and now just leave him alone and let him sleep, and maybe they can do it. Because the East, from what I'm seeing after a couple of weeks here, doesn't look like it's
wide open.
Yeah, like there's been some teams that are ready to win, like back in the day, L.A., and they're like, oh, no, there's the Chicago. I don't know if there's a lot of teams in the East that would scare the heck out of me right now.
No, I mean, that's why the Leafs are up there. Like, Detroit's had a great start. You know, Pittsburgh is still there. Washington's, I think, a really good team. You know, Montreal stumbled out of the gate. Buffalo's been a disaster. I think Carolina hasn't played a lot of games. I was checking last night. They only played three. So Carolina's going to have a tough schedule at some point. They've got a brand new starter. And talk about numbers and comparing that. They give up the least amount of shots. So this guy's save percentage just organically is going to come down. And I'm not convinced Darling can play 60 games. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with a lot of these teams moving up and down the standings a month from now.
There are five teams right now, and we're like three, five, six games in. But there are five teams in the Eastern Conference right now that have more regulation time losses than wins. The Islanders, the Rangers, the Bruins, the Habs, the Sabres. Who do you like best to turn it around? Or maybe two of those teams.
Islanders who?
The two New York teams, Islanders, Rangers.
I don't like either of those.
Boston?
Boston could turn it around. I think Montreal will be fine if Carey Price gets going.
And then Buff, who won in Anaheim on the weekend after losing in L.A.
Tough to trust Buffalo. I think Robin Leonard's really inconsistent, but I like Buffalo's talent. But they've got to play. They got to prove it. Easier, a lot of lip service out there. Go out and play the games.
Yeah.
That's you know, the proof in the pudding. Like, it'd be interesting to see 10, 12, 15 games in, what teams stabilize and what teams are still erratic. Like, the Islanders are interesting for me. You know, Tavares, contract year, what's going on there? You know, Eberle's nicked up. Like, they just, that Hosang was a healthy scratch the other day. Like, goaltending.
That Barzal kid can play a little bit.
That Barzal, they've got some players there, but
he's really good.
It'd just be interesting. Like, I can't figure out if that team's projecting up or plateauing. Because I don't know. I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, personally. But, and Tavares, like, that's looming over. Like, Tavares may just say to them, I'm the face of your franchise. I want $10 million. I want the Eichel deal or more. Because I'm unrestricted.
Right.
And you don't do it, I'm out of here.
And there was that report last week.
That's probably already happened.
Yeah. That they'll stay in Brooklyn next season at Barclays, but beyond that, it's still up in the air, which is...
Yeah, it's a gong show.
All right, it's the Jamie McLennan show tomorrow.
Exactly.
So what's that then?
He's got to put all the work in.
Exactly.
Well, you can't do that to us.
No, exactly. Especially this far in advance of the big day on Friday.
That's true.
This has been the Scotty Mac Show with Overdrive, TSN 1050, the TSN Go app, and TSN 2.